halfway through. If you need them, raise your hand high. They'll get you one. Yeah, anybody? All right, two. Man, they're going to run out, man. Our ushers are ready to go. Thank God these guys have everything, paper clips, matches. They got everything. If you need, just ask them, all right? A couple things on the big screen that I can tell you about. Man Up Monday is tomorrow. It's already the end of the month, last Monday of the month. Man, time's flying, right? But Man Up Monday comes tomorrow, and we're looking at a testimony by the guy Michael Francisi, and he was a godfather in the Colombo family. If you don't know who that is, neither did I until I watched a little bit. But he got miraculously saved in prison and delivered, and then he's still alive. There's no hit that was put on him after that, which is pretty amazing in his testimony. This is a type of guy that if I would have known about it, I should have been like advertising it this way. This is where you bring the people that are far away from God, and they hear this man speak, and when he speaks, he's going to draw them close to Jesus. So all the men, if you could, join me tomorrow. You'll need to sign up so I'll know. Just don't come by faith. If you come by faith, you won't have the meatballs because we're going to serve spaghetti and meatballs. I'll get your meatballs. All you're going to get is a little bit of caldito, amen, or that little bit of just tomato sauce. You want to get the whole meatball, right, everybody? So you do that by signing up. It's $5, amen, not $5 by faith, but you'll come up with $5. If you don't have $5, I'm sure if you look at me real hard, or look, I'm going to point you to somebody else. Howard can pay for you, amen. Howard's on the front row. But everybody can come up with $5. You don't even have to leave a tip. Isn't that good? That's too cheap, right? So one person said amen. Amen. The rest of y'all, amen. You need $5 faith. So $5 will pay for it. It'll be good. All you can eat, and it's going to be great. Make sure that you sign up, because if you don't sign up, they're going to be cooking the food by noontime or getting it ready, and we need to buy the stuff. So you need to do it today. Is that okay? Somebody say today. Today. Yeah, today. Is that good? And it's good to see you guys that are back. Amen. I hadn't seen you in a while, and I noticed that you're here. So God bless you today. Amen. The second thought is this. Wednesday night, we've always been a church. You can show me the next slide, that leaves walls, and it's really not, are y'all with me? Yeah. It's not this church that we say, well, this is the church. No, the church is really outside the four walls. This is just like a holy huddle that we do every Sunday. Real church happens outside. See, the John Jay students that are 3,000 may never come be part. I want them to come. We're doing everything we can to reach them, but they're still going to be our congregants. They're still going to be our church members. Right? That's what the church is about. It's church on the outside. The people at the adult daycare that we go to on Fridays and serve and bless, they may never come, but we go to church. We have church there. Amen? And so when we leave the four walls, we do that once a month organized. We're going to do something this Wednesday night, and we do it a little bit organized, but it's all good. We share the love of God with people in our community. And if you show up at 6:45 here, we'll pray and then deploy you out. Amen. You won't go alone. We'll go with people. Amen. So be part of that. I lead that. I help lead that. Chuck and Jamie help lead that. So you either see me or them today, and you'll get more information at 6:45. Is that okay with everybody? Yeah. Reaching people for God. Amen. That are far away from God. That's what we're meant to do as a church. Well, every January, we begin a new emphasis at the beginning of the year, and we've done that for many years now, and we have a 21-day fast. You can show me the next slide whenever you want. And is it going to be one of those Sundays? Give me a good amen. Amen. We're going to be happy. Amen. So what I want, in January, we do a 21-day fast, and the emphasis is we fast and we pray for 21 days. So we thought of a series in August that we reset ourselves back, because we come out of a summer slump. We come out just not recognizing some things that are spiritual that we should. And so we wanted to reset ourselves back and restore ourselves back. So we thought of the series called Reset. So in August, we did that. At the beginning of August, it's the end of August. And when we pause and we seek God for 21 days, we don't necessarily fast for 21 days, food or things like that. But we do say 6 days that you would go without something and emphasize your relationship with God. So I'm asking you, what's chipping away at your spiritual walk, your spiritual life? What's getting in the way of you becoming that person that God intended you to be today? And so the Restore series, the definition of that is to bring back to previously the right place, the practice, the custom, the situation. Oh, I used to live that way. I used to do that. And it reinstates itself back, and it's restored. I was at the doctor's this week, and by the way, y'all have been praying for me so faithfully, and just so I can blitz announce it and just tell everybody, You guys, they told me I have this imbalance problem in this ear. So it's causing me to go kind of chueco. No, I'm not. They're going to give me some physical therapy. Amen. You guys that are here, and they're going to make me right. You guys that are physical therapists, or I got one at least that I know. He can give me, maybe he can just come do it, and I have to go to that clinic. Amen. You can do it. I can be in my boxers, Jimmy, and you can just help me out at home. Amen. And feed me that good barbecue, amen, and minister to me that way, amen. Hey, I'm glad Jimmy's back too, amen. So anyway, let me get lost in food here. I had to watch in the waiting room this thing called Flip or Flop, because they had it on that channel, amen. All the ladies that are in that office just want to watch HGTV all day and make us patients suffer through that. So I had to, this program was on Flip or Flop, and it kept coming on and on, 30 minutes after 30 minutes, and this same couple would go and buy this dilapidated house and flip it and make a profit. And they would go in, and what I noticed was this, check this out. They would go in and have this old stuff in this house, this old beat-up counter, and they would gut it, and they would put in a new counter. The flooring was like 1980, the avocado, you know, color or whatever, the real bright orange, and they would go rip that out, and they put these hardwood floors or laminate floors that were just beautiful. Or they would make spaces. They would, we got to tear out that wall so we can have an open space. It's all about open space nowadays. And they would, but what I noticed, everything that was old or wrong in that house, they would take it out and then they would put something new. And I thought about our spiritual man. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit, aren't we? Who has a big temple here? Big church, amen. Y'all are mega church, right? Amen. Some of us are smaller churches, right? Amen. Some of y'all are mid-sized. Whatever. You got that later, amen. But We all have something that we need to restore that God wants back. Something old, something that's wrong. No one's arrived here. But we restore it back with something good, and God does that today, right? King David knew what it was to get restored. Boy, did he mess up big time. And he replaced something that was old and wrong with something right. And he said in Psalms 51, the screen would say, create in me a what? A clean heart. Renew that renewal, a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence. Do not take the Holy Spirit from me. That'd be too much. Take the kingdom, take the palace, take the royal chariot, but don't take the Holy Spirit. You see what he was really after, right? It wasn't about the stuff. It was about, man, I want my relationship back with God. And look what he notices. Restore, restore, restore. Restore to me the joy of my salvation when I used to be happy. When I wanted to come to church, when I wanted to witness, when I wanted to do the right thing. And I noticed something at the very end. When I just came back from summer camp, I was happy, yeah. And then I went, started going to school again. And it says, make me willing to what? And that bothered me, but it just kind of, I wondered about that all week long as I just chewed it today. And I chewed it this week, and I thought, God, when I want to obey God and do the right things, but I don't do it. How about you? And why is it so hard to obey God sometimes when seasons that it's so easy to obey God? And I know there's insight coming because we're going to talk about the Word of God. We've talked about spiritual restore. We've talked about soul restore. And they're all found on our website. You can go to them and listen to them. Today we're going to talk about body restore. And we think about, well, you know, my body, I'm going to eat clean. I'm going to eat more salads. And we think that's what it's about. But you're a three-part being. You're a spirit first. Primarily, you're that because that's what's going to last. Right, everybody? Forever. Your soul next. Your emotions. That's where anger rises up. That's where love, that, oh, the hair on the back of my head, you know, rose up because I'm so in love with her and that sort of thing. And then your body, what you're feeling and how you're set in your body. So the deepest parts of you. And sometimes we think, well, my body, man, it's my weight and my looks we have to think about. And, you know, man, who loves ice cream like I do? See, the devil couldn't have created ice cream. The rest of y'all are liars, amen? I never met anybody that like. The devil couldn't have created something like Blue Bell, you know, or Haagen-Dazs or whatever it might be. Well, yeah, that's right. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for that, right? but you know what the devil will make you do? He'll make you eat the whole gallon, though. Amen. God created ice cream. And so how we treat our bodies really affects our soul and spirit. Because if your body doesn't want to move, or your body's down, or your body, it will bring your soul and spirit down. How can I purify myself from the contaminants that can contaminate this body. And again, you think, well, it's eating clean, and well, it's really not about that. There's contaminants, and you'll see that right now. In Romans chapter 7, verse 21 on the big screen, it says this, Paul, the greatest Christian that ever lived, he said, so I find this law of work. When I want to do good, are y'all there with me? Evil is right there with me. Man, there's that good little guy, yeah, the angel, but on this soldier, kind of like the shoulder of that cartoon, that devil, the diablitos right here telling me, the evil's right there with me, right? How many of y'all ever feel like that? From my inner being, I delight in God, and God is within you, and God wants you to come to church and be faithful. And God wants you to witness and be the light in your job place. But it says, I see another law, and that's your soul and your body and your spirit, the members in my body right there. And they're waging a war against the law in my mind and making me a what? And that this sermon is dedicated to all those people in this room, all of us that are included, that you want to do right, but you don't. And you're living another life, and God doesn't want you to be that prisoner to that life. And the law of sin is working within my members and my spirit, my soul, and my body. What a wretched man I am. It's almost like he says, man, I'm such a jerk. I'm just nothing but a big jerk, you know, because I keep doing these things I shouldn't do. And I know that's nobody in this church. I'm just talking to the church down the street, right? And Paul just, in this word, just, you know, in this last sentence cries out, who can rescue me from such a body of death? I'm just dragging this thing. This thing's dragging me down. And it's making me do stuff I don't want to do today, amen? And I don't want to live this way. And God has hope today. I'm going to talk about some painful things today. I'm going to cover them because the Bible covers them. And it's painful to bring them out, but what I promise you is that I'm going to bring freedom because it's God's word and restoration today. Amen? So let's listen through them, and let's listen like we should because it's God's word and God's going to fix us the right way. The first thought here is addiction. And you can fill in the blank there. If you're taking notes, take notes. If you're not taking notes, take notes anyway. Now, who would say I'm an addict? Okay, a couple of people, and they're being honest because they know living faith. An addict is doing anything that you don't want to do, but you keep doing. Now, who's an addict? Good. And so, hi, my name is Mario, and I'm an addict. And y'all should say back, 12-step program, hi, Mario. Okay. There's some area in your life that you're doing, and it's showing that that's what I'm living for. And so, how do you know if you're an addict, really? And I found a couple of things that do you arrange your schedule around it? Is it isolating you? Are you working to keep it a secret? How about this one? Does an inner circle of your friends that know you and love you, have they already told you, hey, you got a problem with that, man? You should deal with it. And they've told you in love, and some of them screamed at you and that sort of thing, but they've still told you. And the final thought, can you stop doing it for 6 days? And what is in your life, and it could be, you know, some of the big, you know, you think, well, I'm gambling, I'm alcoholism, substance abuse, I'm overspending, there's lust, something on the computer that I can't get away from, and I just can't stop. And you say, I can't stop for 6 days, and you start making excuses about it, then you're addicted to it. And what I want to do today is just bring you some encouragement from God's word, because when you dig in and you trench yourself out sometimes of that addiction, whatever it might be, God's word is a hopeful thing that you meditate on it, you chew on it, you it's there when a best friend's and you say, you know what, this is what I need. And God brought us some hope through Romans chapter 6 on the big screen, verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign. Go back. Amen. Too quick. Amen. I was almost there. It says, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, and so you do not obey its evil desires. Do not go back. Please, go back, go back, go back, go back. Amen. In the name of Jesus, go back. Amen. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourself to God. Right, everybody? For sin shall not be your what? And so sometimes you think, you know what? This is happening in my life, and I'm going to need to say no in the name of Jesus when I want to do that, and I shouldn't do that. And you have God's power within you and his proclamation within you to do God's word. Amen. So God doesn't want you to backslide anymore. He wants you to front slide. And it takes just as much effort to backslide as it would, somebody say, to front slide. Front slide. I'm going to write a song called Front Slide. Amen. We can do that one. Amen. It'd be a fast one. But that difficult thing that is so difficult. Think about it this moment. What is difficult for me to stop doing that's not good for me? And for 6 days, I will, you'll fill in the blank and you'll fast that. Amen. I want to ramp it up a little bit and go a little bit deeper now. And that's debauchery. That's where you were at a moment ago. So go there. Maybe you should kind of take the helm if it's going to be a troublesome day. Amen. Because I really need somebody help. So it's okay for him to watch today. Ephesians 5:18. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to what? Yeah. Instead, be filled with. So debauchery right there. It's when your senses are calling the shots, and you're indulging in sensuality. Now I'm going to speak right now probably to people that are 30 and under a little bit more directly. Not that you're any better, not that you're any worse than the people 30 above. But if you're 30 and over, there's a generation that's been raised a little bit differently. See, when I graduated from high school, it was in 1982, and Ronald Reagan came into office. And Ronald Reagan, the government was literally telling us how to live, believe it or not. They were telling us, not real hard, but they were telling us with these big programs. And like any first lady, because Nancy Reagan, his wife, began something, all these other first ladies started having their own agenda. And this first lady named Nancy Reagan, y'all remember, had this anti-drug, anti-alcohol, anti-even premarital sex message. And remember what she would say? She came out with these commercials, and it was called Just Say. Y'all remember, amen? You fell off your dinosaur? Y'all remember that one with me? Just Say No. And so it was all of Nancy Reagan would just say no, and she came out, even Different Strokes. Arnold, remember little Arnold? Had Nancy Reagan on there. Y'all don't remember Arnold. Amen. He grew up. Amen. And Willis, remember that? I mean, move ahead. So then when she said, just say no, she knew that there would be a moral compass, moral absolutes with that generation, that they would go beyond their feelings. And they go, well, it feels right. Now, today's mantra is, if it feels right, just do it. Just do the whole thing, man, because it feels right. That's who you are. Live that way. But back then in the 80s, no, there's going to be a moral compass of truth that lives within you and an absolute that says, you know what, it may feel good, but I'm not going to do that today because it's going to bring harm to me and I'm not going to live that way in debauchery today. It's a principle. It's an inner rule, some rules that I have on the inside of my life that I'm going to be governed that way even though my flesh isn't going to take over. It's pretty spiritual if you think about it today. And if I listen to my feelings today, do you know that I probably wouldn't be a pastor? Boy, it's quiet in this Baptist church. If I listened to my feelings, I wouldn't be married. I'd be in a whole bunch of trouble. My marriage would be in trouble. But because I have a governing system about what's right and wrong and truth in my life, you stay on the straight and narrow. Not that, well, you lost all fun. No, not about that. It's God is with me. Amen. You're not ruled by. So as a child of God, those in the room that are children of God in this room, that are the King's children, you follow conviction. You follow, no, this is what I'm convicted to do. This is what truth is. And it's not, well, this is who you really are, child. You got to live that way. Or you trust your feelings. No, you trust your feelings, you're going to go way off. You obey truth and feelings come later. Is that okay with everybody? And so debauchery, sometimes what we put into our lives creates anything will go. And that's why debauchery right here in the scripture, it causes, that's why that person that's filled with so much substance, sometimes they do stupid stuff, right? Because they were under the influence and they did dumb things. They acted dumb and they did dumb things, right, everybody? They took on the whole police force because they were under the influence, right? That's pretty stupid, right? Porfulio, remember him? He is drinking it up, man. Him and Hulano, they're in the bar, man. They're drinking it, man. They're drunk bad. They're drunk that day. And they're walking out of the cantina, man, and they're like, instead of taking the right, because they're so drunk, to get on the sidewalk, they take a left and go on the railroad tracks. And they're getting on the railroad tracks, and but Hulano goes, man, these stairs are just killing me. It's railroad tracks. So maybe we'll get that through. And and then Porfulio goes, man, it's not the stairs, man, it's a handrail. You'll get it at 3 a.m. That's funny. I don't care what you say. Amen. We'll go on. See, when you do crazy things, it dulls your senses, right? Let's ramp it up to the big mamu. Amen. Here we go. The last one here. The second, sexual immorality. The Bible's very vocal on this one. Very, very vocal. And the Greek word for sexual immorality isn't two words. It's one word. It's called porneia, where we get our word pornography. And pornography wasn't meant to really be a bad word, like, well, it's Playboy, it's Penthouse, it's all these bad magazines, it's something on the internet. It really, what porneia means, that we got our word pornography, sexual immorality, is really the definition of it is sex outside of marriage as defined by God, not the government. Okay, because God wrote his word a long time ago before government started redefining what marriage was, right, everybody? Marriage is between one woman and one man, okay? So that's the way God defined it. So if you look at sex outside of marriage defined by God, it confronts everything from lust, masturbation, premarital sex. God's definition of marriage is a covenant between a man and a woman that would come before him in holy covenant and vow to each other for better or for worse, in sickness and in health, and do it even before witnesses to honor God in his house. And it's all right what you did at the courthouse, but God would love for his people to be involved, right, everybody? And so, well, you know, you're taking it too hard. It was just me on the internet, and I was watching that thing and watching that little bit of thing, and nobody was there. Well, let me speak directly at that on how serious the Bible is. By the way, when I was a youth pastor, real transparent, I used to get off on preaching this. Howard remembers. We were younger. And I used to, like, really, because my young people, they weren't able to get married. Amen. So I used to, like, you can't have sex, man. You can't go out there Friday night and be in the car and do all that stuff. You know, so I would, but now I look at it, man, God not only includes that, but he includes anything that you would see with your eyes and you would undress or you would think about something, a fantasy. Because Jesus already said that, didn't he? Ramp it up. And he said, you've already committed adultery if you've had lust even in your mind about that woman, right? Or about that man, if you guys vice versa here, right? Yeah. So it's already been done here. It covers everything. And so when I read the scripture now, it's almost like a, not a holy fear, but man, I want to do what's right with you as God's people, right, everybody? Paul, at the scripture right now, he was saying, he was addressing the Corinthian church because they had these little gods. They would light little candles to whatever, and these little gods, the temple prostitutes would be inside the church, and they would worship their god with the temple prostitute, their little god. So you think, man, I wasn't as bad as that. Well, hold on. Let me show you what he was talking about, which is incredible in 1 Corinthians. And you need to make a study of that word, amen, because it's so good. 1 Corinthians 6:15, it's on the big screen. Write it down next to your notes. It says, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ, that your whole body there, and unite? And that word unite that I've underlined is the Greek word for permanently fused at the deepest level. In other words, this was more, it was just me in between friends. And it was a 3 a.m. call. It was a midnight call, and I called her, or she came over, and it was, I didn't even know her name. No, at the deepest level, if sexual intimacy outside of the bounds of marriage happened, then there was something that happened at the deepest level there, and it permanently fused. I'm going to get to the questions that may be out there right now. You left part of them in you, and they left part of you in you, and you were forever fused together. It says, unite them with a prostitute. Never. Do you not know that he who unifies himself with a prostitute is one with her? So, well, it was just a physical thing. No, that physical act of sex, what happened was there was a soul, two souls that came together, two spirits that came together, because intimacy is that in the marriage bed. And when they come together, it comes together more than a physical thing. It's a spiritual act, because God meant for it only in the confines of his holy covenant of marriage today. And so you guys have ever heard of that thing called soul ties? Yes, Pastor, we've heard it, some of us. And soul ties are just, well, I keep thinking of her. I keep thinking of him, and because something happened of a bond there. You ask somebody that is tough right now if they've ever been raped or physically abused. They remember because it was more than a physical act. Something happened in their soul. And you know why God did something of this, if I can go a little bit deeper? He did it because the act of marriage is so beautiful that when a man and a woman that have made covenant before God get together in their marriage bed, it's something beautiful, and it's something that God wants to happen so their marriage becomes stronger. That's why if you want a healthy marriage, the act of intimacy brings a marriage stronger, and it should be healthy within relation. Can I get all the men to say amen? You guys are weak, amen, but you guys should put a little bit more in the offering today because I preach that. Is that okay with everybody? Yeah. So God is good, and he wants us to have a strong marriage. And you know what God did? He almost like he added this little spice of paprika, or he put that last little dash of maybe a pinch of that or that. He said, I'm going to add even, he didn't have to do this, but he put pleasure into it, the marriage act, the marriage intimacy. And he said, I'm just going to put a little bit more pleasure into that and make it. He didn't have to do that, but he did that because God is good, and he wants to provide that in our marriages today. Amen. So then he finishes up, and he says this. He says, do you not know he unites himself to a prostitute as one with her? You literally become one. It's a permanent fusing today, that word unite. And so he says the two, which you got for the marriage scripture, and he took out of the Old Testament, Jesus even talked about two shall become what? Do y'all get that today? If you're married, keep a healthy sex life. It's good. Nothing wrong with that. If you're not married, amen. Get married, amen. Give me a good amen. If you have this gift of singleness, amen. Thank God you're celibate. God, we'll put you on a trophy case, amen. You're awesome, amen. Today, but most people I know don't have the gift of celibacy. And you say, well, there's all sorts of soul ties. You think about there's stuff happening on a computer screen. There's stuff exchange, whatever it might be today. And God, there's so many ways today. I love the voice of God because it doesn't come to me as a shout. It's good. And God said, not only if this is happening today and you've seen the wrong of it, God restores. God not only restores, he forgives. Not only does God forgive, but you know what he does? He cleanses. As far as the east is from the west, the river of God cleanses that, and it makes it whole again, and it makes it beautiful again. And God is for you, not against you today. I want you to learn from God's word. And just like something that's old and wrong gets ripped out and it hurts, it's pain, God puts so much something better into it. The value goes up in your life. The identity of God goes way up. Amen. Are y'all here this morning? And you're living the life of God. Amen. And it's good. God is for you. He's not against you. He wrote a whole Bible, a love letter that's really not about him. It's really for you, how much he loves you and wants to take care of you. So it's all about you. Number one is this. Somebody say, get away from it. And say it like you mean it. Get away from it. Physically remove yourself from that thing that is messing you up in your body. And what is it? It could be that person at work. You've been flirting with that person. You've been thinking about that person. The grass isn't always greener. We always say at Living Faith. In the other yard, there's poop in that yard. You just haven't stepped in it. That water bill's higher. Good to see you, Mija. Amen. Good to see you. Yeah, there you are. Amen. She came. Amen. Water your own yard. The water bill. Amen. Water your own yard. Amen. There won't be weeds today. Some of the young people that have been to school already a couple of days, you've been going 2 weeks or a week, you've already got that bad association. You shouldn't be with that person. You need to text them on the way out. It is over, and you're texting them, and then you block them, and then they don't call you back. Amen. Or they don't. Just it's over. Text them because it's a bad. So get away from them. The people that you're working with, if they're causing you something, then quit. Well, it's a job, and it's the only one. Well, move. I'd hate to lose you, but you're going to hurt a bunch of people if you continue and you go over the line today. So get away from it. Amen. In 1 Corinthians 6:18, why don't we read that together loud, strong, as a people of faith, as a declaration. The Word of God is alive. It's in us. Amen. It does something to us when we read it. Amen. We proclaim it on three. One, two, three. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits outside his body. Do you not know that your body, who is in you, and you were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. If you're not a believer in this room, no judgment, judgment-free zone. I'm honored that you're here checking things out. If you're skeptical right now, you're far away from God, I'm honored that you're here. But for the rest of us, or for some of us that are believers in this room, you came to church on Sunday morning, I have to think you're a believer. See, I don't have a right, according to this verse, to do whatever I want. There was this thing that happened years ago in my life where I had so many sins, and I was so far away from God as a teenager, and I had so much stuff going on in my life, baggage and all this stuff. And they told me the good news that Christ would forgive me and take all that debt, and take all that unforgiveness and take all that sin from my life. But I had to give it to somebody, and his name was Jesus. And Jesus hung on a cross for me and took that shame, took that unforgiveness, took that sin from my life, and it was nailed to the cross, and I was free. Then Jesus came down from that cross, and I began to walk with him, and Jesus told me something like this when he became my Lord. He said, Mario, you're going to walk with me? Yes, sir. You saved me. You kept me from a great debt. I was going to have to pay hell if I was going to walk with that the rest of my life. He says, because you're walking with me, you're going to have to live for me. And I'm going to tell you what to do because I'm your rabbi. You're following me. You're my disciple. And so it is with all the believers. See, I don't have a choice to walk in my disobedience. I don't have a choice to go by my feelings. I have a great debt, and I got to do what the boss tells me to do. And so do you if you're a believer, right, everybody? And so thank God. Jesus said, you belong to me. If you belong to me, you're going to do what I do today. And so the second thought is this. I'm going to have to guard my mind. Are y'all with me this morning? Somebody say, guard my mind. And it all begins with the mind. If only how many times have I heard, there's only one little bad part in it. The rest is all good in that movie or that TV show. In the video game, they only kill one person every 1 minute, every 5 seconds or whatever. It's only that bad for a little bit, and it doesn't bother me. And it bothers me that you would say that. Because of life and what life is and how God values life and how God looks at people and how he looks at our daughters in this room and how he looks at our men, our princes in this room today. We live this culture called desensitized culture, and we get so desensitized that we can see murder and murder over and over on the big screen, or we can see something of intimacy happening. It's not even in the confines of marriage. It's happening over this comedy, and we're laughing about it. We get real comfortable about it. And it's not a big deal. And God says it's a big deal because that's my image today. It's kind of like that little story about that mama that had that son, and she was a single parent trying to raise her son in morals and just bring him to church. And, you know, he got to be a teenager, and he was wanting to go to the movie theater real bad, you know, and he was telling mama, he said, Mama, it only has that one bad scene in it, that one bad part. That's why it's rated the way it's rated, but the rest of it's great. All my friends have seen it, and we really want to go, Mom. They've invited me. Can I go? Can I go? Please, can I go? She said, you know what? I need to think about this, but why don't we talk about it over some brownies? Oh, boy, Mom, I love your brownies. And so she starts making brownies for him because it's his favorite. And so she starts get the batter. And what she does is she goes out in the backyard, and Fido, the dog, their little... He's out there, and he's done his mess. He's done his business. So she takes just a little bit of spoon of that, gets a little bit of his mess, his poop, and just takes a scoop, and she puts it in the brownie mix. And she starts stirring it up until it all dissolves. How many, a little bit of poop goes a long way? She's stirring it up, man. And then finally she bakes it. She puts the pecans on it like he likes the pecans on the top. And then she sits down, cuts him a little piece, and she says, you ain't going to eat any, Mama? He goes, no, just for you, mijo. He said, I want you to eat it, you know. He says, before you, because he almost bit it with his milk. I mean, he's drinking the milk already. He says, before you bite it, I want to let you know what I did in the backyard. I got a little bit of Fido's poop, and I put it in the mix. But it's just a little bit. Just a little bit. It ain't much. And he says, gross, Mama. Why'd you do that? He says, you know what? It's just a little bit of poop. It's not much. You're not even going to taste it, probably. And he finally got the idea about what the movie was about, because it's just a little bit of cussing. It's just a little bit of sexual immorality. Just a little bit. Boy, it's quiet today. Amen. And so a little bit of poop goes a long way. How many of you know that in your spirit, in your body? Amen. You really don't need a pastor or Dr. Superduck to tell you what's right or wrong. If you're a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit within you. You have a Bible, everyone in this room. And so you have something that can direct you the same way. Do you know that today? Jesus spoke about to his disciples and to us. He said, the eye, right, everybody? The mind, it all begins. It's a beginning point right here, this mente. You start thinking about something and it gets you messed up. And it's the lamp of the body. And if your eyes are good, if you're thinking about good things, confessing good things, if you're saying good things about you, then you're going to be full of light. But if the eyes are what? The mind is thinking bad thoughts, bad confessions. I'm a loser. I'm unhealthy. I'm not right. I'm a sinner. And it starts thinking about it. That's why it says, the whole body will be full of what? There's this little nursery thing that we used to do back in church, Victory Chapel, and we used to lead the niños and coritos, but we would sing it in English. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Right? Remember that, corito? No, nobody did. It's an old song we used to teach our children that in children's church. Be careful, little eyes, what you gaze upon, what you look upon. And for 6 days, would we hit the reset button and the restore button in our lives and say, I'm going to look at something different. I'm going to take the old out and restore myself. I'm so glad that the good gospel of Jesus is never like this. And some of us think that when we walk into church, they're going to do that. But I'm so thankful that I've been bent this way and learned this way. The Bible isn't full of do's or don'ts or don't do that. Stop that. Ah! The Bible's this way. I'm going to give you something better than that. Yeah. And so if we take our eyes off, sin loses its attractiveness. If I find something better, I found something better. It's Jesus. It's life. And that way I don't go back to that. You know why I don't commit adultery? You don't have to answer that out loud. Because I love Irma. And I've fallen in love with her over and over for 25 years. I'm more in love with her. And so I'm not interested in that. Do you understand that? And if you fall in love with Jesus over and over for whatever life that you live, amen, sin will lose. It's not attractive to me anymore because I have something better. Give me a good amen. There's a little boy that got a birthday party and he wanted to go to the fair. And so his dad said, you can take 7 of your friends with you and we'll go to all the things. And so he has 7 tickets every ride that they go in, and they count out 7 tickets. They get on the Ferris wheel, 7 tickets. They get on the Ferris wheel. Well, by the end of the day, you know, he still has all these tickets and they're still going on the bumper cars. The bumper car line is long. And so all his little friends line up, hands out 7 tickets. Well, there's an 8th boy, and he's out of it. He's saying, it's kind of weird. He already had 7 tickets. He says, who are you? He says, my name is Johnny. Yeah, well, who are you? He says, I'm your son's new friend. And I asked that dad, I said, did you give him a ticket? He said, absolutely. Welcome to the family. God wants to welcome you into his family. Not only does he give you a ticket, but he gives you the kingdom to come into and be part. If you'd only come into that, leave that, and leave and come into this, you wouldn't be attracted to that. Give me a good amen. And as I conclude today, number 3 is this. Go all in for God. Yeah. We can finish up strong here with the keyboardist coming and helping me today. Go all in, because do you just have a toe in or a hand in? Or I'm just a Sunday type of Christian. I just come on church. I just come Sunday church, and every now and then I'll come Wednesday. If you find your purpose in God, you discover what you're meant to be about. Listen to me. Watch this. If you find out what you're meant to be about, you run towards that, and it's all what you're about. Do you know what keeps me from sin also? You. All of you. Because as a shepherd, I'm supposed to be an example to the flock. A leader. Well, that's you, Pastor, so I can mess up on this stuff. No, You're still a leader. Everybody has somebody watching them today. And we're all meant to be an example in this room today. We're all meant to lead in some sort of way. Not only do I lead for my church, I lead for, most importantly, my wife and my children. Because I don't want to leave something that would hurt them. And that keeps me from sin. How about you today? Yeah, and so the Bible says the motivation, not rules, not lack of I'm going to get involved, I have to do this, or I'm going to get in trouble by God. God's not out to hit you with a baseball bat. Look at Romans chapter 6, verse 13. Let's read that strong together as we conclude today. Would you read that strong with me on three? One, two, three, go. Do not let any part... Hold up. We've been doing pretty good up until this point. You know what I'm going to ask you for, right? See, the better that you amen and the louder that you get, the quicker that we get out of here. So let's go ahead and read this again, amen? Let's do it the Living Faith way. Number three, can we do this on three? Can we do this again? One, two, three, go. Do not let any part. Instead, give yourself completely to God. Yeah. You and God's unique design for you. You're a one in a million. That God would put His thumbprint right on you and say, no one else can do what you can do for me. Other people can kind of, but you're meant to do that. You're meant to do that for my kingdom. I've given you that gift today. You were made for a purpose. And that's why the Growing in Faith class that we have in a couple of weeks, I guess a week away now to get launched again, or 2 weeks away. When it launches, you need to go to that class so you find your spiritual gift in it. They teach that. You'll discover that. You can say, this is what I can aim for now. This is what I'm about today. Paul talked about it this way, the final scripture on the big board, 1 Corinthians 9:25. Extra. It says this, all athletes are disciplined in their training. Can the lights come down over here? Yeah, they do it to win a prize. They will fade away, but you will receive Michael Phelps and all the medals. One day, they're going to stay behind. But what won't be gone is the spirit. And we do this for an eternal prize. That's why we run. So we run with a purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body just like an athlete. And those athletes train for 4 years. And I trained it the way it should be, spiritually. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I might be disqualified. And no one in this room wants to be disqualified. You want to have a purpose in your life. You want to go, and that's going to keep me from sin. I had to talk to a young man this week, and I had to tell him, you're going to have a choice in your life. Well, it's my work environment. It's going to keep me, it's going to mess me up if I go to work there. No, you overcome. You're going to have forever something in front of you. One day you'll be married, and if you're going to mess up your marriage, it's because you're going to do the wrong thing. And you're going to have to make choices your whole life, even as a young man now, to keep yourself pure, and give yourself, and you overcome. You overcome sin. You say no to it. You make the choice. It's not a feeling. It's not something sensual. You say no to it, and you say, no, this is the way I'm walking. I made a choice to keep myself pure before God, and that sort of thing. Yeah, today, amen. So the final blank is right here. I will. This is where the Holy Spirit speaks to you. What are you going to do for 6 days? And just say, this is Holy Spirit's telling me to do this and stop this for 6 days. Replace it with something good today. Let's pray together as a family. Father, we consider how great your work is, and how marvelous the work of God is in our lives. And we consider that we're made a little bit lower than the angels, but yet you would choose to inhabit a spirit within us. Who are we, God? So we say, search us, Holy Spirit. If there's anything unclean or impure, God, that we need freedom from, that the body is calling the shots now, we want to be set free from. And so even at the sound of a voice of the Holy Spirit dealing with every one of us in this room, we see, do a deep work, Holy Spirit. Tell me what to do. Tell me what I will do right now. Thank you, Lord, and set people free. Thank you for the freedom found in Jesus today, where captives are set free. Thank you, Lord. As I continue to pray, you're far away from God. and you recognize that. And if your heart was to stop beating suddenly right now, you would be an eternity away from God. God intended right now that you would be near. God gently knocks and he's saying, would you allow me to forgive you of your sins? Would you allow me to give you a new life? You'd be foolish to walk out of this room not forgiven, to be near to God again. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm going to ask you to just lift your hand slightly right now. And I do this for everyone. Would you close your eyes and bow your head? I do this for everyone right now in this room today, so it's a private matter, but I am going to pray for you. I won't embarrass you. But if I see your hand lifted a little bit right now, I'll know to include you in this prayer. God bless you, Mama. I see your hand. Somebody else, you can put it down once you put it up. Yes, yes, I see hands. Yes, I see them. Someone else making sure. Yes, I see your hand right there. You can put it down. Yes, I saw it. Yes, amen. I saw your hand. You can put it down. God sees that. You're already forgiven because the altar call begins a long time before the prayer's made. So you're included in the family. All the sinners that are saved by grace, we pray this prayer. The ones that raise their hand, the five or six incredible people of God in this room, the six, would you pray this prayer loud enough that you can hear it in your own ear? Let's pray this together. My Heavenly Father, I thank you for remembering me right now. At this moment right now, forgive my sins. Wash me clean, Jesus. Your blood, the cross of Christ, my shame. Now I'm honored. I'm blessed. I'm restored. I'm new again. Thank you for the forgiveness of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, I'm included in your family. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Change me, Lord. Thank you, God, a new beginning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you for filling your people. Thank you, Lord. Six people, a miracle took place. This is a miracle, amen. Six people raised. Let's bless them. Come on, welcome. Welcome to the family of God. Come on, yeah. There's a connection card in front of you. I'd like you to fill that out. And we take this as a moment. No one's going to call you. No one's going to go by and knock at your door. We don't do that. But I would like it so I can pray for you. I would like it so I can aim you in the right direction in the coming days and praying for you. I'm not going to confront you, but I am going to pray for you real hard this week because we just take that, man, you came to this house and you received Jesus. Isn't that important? Yeah, it's a new beginning for you. So make sure that you fill that out. Put that in a basket, in the baskets up front, or give it to a leader, and you'll be able to do that today. Today's Communion Sunday, and we want to make sure that we are able to take communion and break bread with you. Irma and I are going to wait for you at the front, and we're going to go ahead and position ourselves to get ourselves ready for that, because just our time right now, we don't want to keep you too long, but we can take time to remember Jesus right now, right, everybody? Jesus said every time that you would do this, that you would remember him in this act today. And so what I'll do right now is I hold the elements. What we do, the table of the Lord is open. Some of us at times need clarifications, especially if you're new to living faith. We welcome everybody to the house of God, and we welcome everybody. This isn't just a living faith thing. This is the church, you, the body of Christ, Jesus, that comes together. And the table of God is open to everyone in this room today. If you choose to rest and sit, I understand that, but it's available to you. This isn't a thing that I'm part of the church today, not that. You're part of Jesus, you're part of the kingdom, and you can be part of this today. And so we always ask the back row to come first, amen. We take the elements together. You'll take the element back to your chair, and we'll take it together as a people. So back row, come first, and we'll wait on you and bless you today as you come. Amen. We'll wait on you to serve you.
give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Because of what?
On the night that Jesus was betrayed, He took bread and He took wine, and He, in an upper room with His disciples, He broke bread with them. And He symbolically broke the bread that it would separate itself from one to another. And I saw that as an act of just the separation of God the Father on the cross from the Son, the beloved Son, Jesus. Never separation ever happened to them except at that moment. So at this moment today, you'll never be separated from God. God's always going to be reaching towards you. We separate ourselves. We have that ability, but God's always a God that never turns His face from you. There's nothing that you cannot, that you can do that would ever separate yourself from the love of God. He's always going to pursue you. We remember that right now at this very moment. Amen? So there's security. There's identity. There's who I am in God, and God loves you. God has a plan for you. And so as He broke the bread, He said, this is My body that's broken for you. And so we take the body of Christ right now together, symbolically the bread. In like manner, He lifted the cup and He said, this is My blood that's poured out for you in the remission of your sins. And so just as a moment of just you lifting up the cup also, because it was passed around, one common cup. We're going to drink together the cup. Not the same cup, but we're drinking together at the same table. Symbolically remembering that. So we lift up the cup right now. He said, this is My blood. It's poured out for you in the remission of your sins. We don't want to take just 95% of Jesus. We want to go all in. We don't want to just take 50% of Jesus or just have a Sunday only Jesus. Not Monday morning Jesus, but I want Jesus all the time. So Jesus is with me. So I'm taking all of Jesus today. Amen. All of His blood, all of His healing, all of His benefits, all of His forgiveness. See, there's more. It's not about rules. It's about taking all of God. Amen. And you get that and you get life, beloved. So whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And God has come that you might have life and life more abundantly. Amen. And so we take this cup as the remission of our sins, that our sins are forgiven right now. Not 95%, but all of them now. Thank You for the forgiveness of our sins. We take the cup together. Amen and amen. Thank You for the forgiveness of our sins, Jesus, our Savior. You can bring those cups right to the center aisle, and they'll get those and gather those. Amen. Thank You, Father, for the touch of Jesus. Amen.
Let the weak say, I am strong. And Let the poor say I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. We give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his son, and give thanks.
Would you bless the Lord, beloved, with me? Come on. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You're good. Worthy of our praise, Lord. Yeah. Amen. I hope this is cute kind of deal. I wanted to show you a quick video. Rest Your Bodies, about an African church, and maybe it's not, maybe it was going to be. They're going to get that ready. Why don't you get yourself ready? There's going to be a couple of ways after the video on how you can give, and our band is going to lead you in a song in a moment, so you guys might as well stay up here. You can, and as soon as you can, show that to me, and she's doing double duty. We're so thankful for Sophia, and there it is. That's a real church, right? Yeah, you can get that guy's on the internet pretty regularly now because of his, and that's an African church. And what I noticed, did you notice a couple of things? You can go back and watch it on YouTube. Just say guy dances in church during the offering time. You'll notice a couple of things if you go back to it. Everybody's giving. There's a line. And in some African churches that aren't as prosperous as that one, some people bring chickens. Some people bring their livestock, their produce, and whatever their tenth is, they bring to the Lord that day to their temple, their church. And I notice no one's offended the way this man comes because of his generous heart. And it's part of their culture there in Africa as they give, and everybody welcomes it. And if somebody did that at Living Faith, I don't think we wouldn't run them out, but just be a little bit different. But what I wanted you to catch is the generosity and the heart behind their gift, that they come to celebrate. And so we've been quiet too long. We treat the offering time as a sterile time and as a time just that. But I really think that generous people have joy all over them, don't you? I'm not telling you to do cartwheels up and down the aisle if that's not you. That man loves to dance. So that's him. Amen. You may just do this. And if that's you, that's okay. I'm good with that. But whatever you, I want you to celebrate God in your giving today. Let me give you a scripture on the big screen. Man, they keep, I don't know if he's going to be able to do it today, but don't run back and forth, I guess. Let me read it to you because we're learning, amen, and it's all good. In 2 Corinthians 9:6, it says, Paul said this, remember this, whomever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Repeat this after me. Whomever sows generously will reap generously. The Bible says this as it continues. Each of you should give in what you've already decided in your heart to give. Not reluctantly, or under compulsion. And repeat this after me. For God loves a cheerful giver. Yeah, 2 Corinthians 9:6. So you don't think I made that up today. There are two responses in your giving today about your tithe or your love offering above and beyond that. Some of us are going to feel obligated. I got to do this. You'll see those looking at me. Yeah, I got to give what God requires of me. And you're almost shaking. And if that's a position of your heart, that's going to be your proportion in giving. And it turns you into a consumer. What am I going to get if I give this? And it's obligation. I'm getting this because I'm giving. But if you give the second way, it's the way God wants you to. It's a God way to give. And it's called gratitude. Would you say gratitude? And I give because God's given to me. Yeah, and that's what it is. It doesn't necessarily mean monetary. It may mean that. But it means health. It means legacy. It means the blessing. It means that God is just going to bless me. And I'm giving out of gratitude, just like that man I kind of project. And it turns into joy. Because I'm giving, because I'm grateful to God. God, you gave me everything anyway. And I'm giving you this tenth that you require, Lord, that you said in your law. But now it's so grateful I'm giving even beyond that because it's not enough. You've given me so much. Amen. And that's really when you start really living. Amen. Because you're living out of generosity today. Amen. And so, does the church need your money? No. We're doing okay. By faith, we're doing okay. We're going to make it. So if you don't believe in this church, go to another church, but give somewhere in a church so the blessing of God will be provided and you're giving and turn your heart into grateful people today. Amen? Amen. So if you want to come dancing, they're going to give you some dancing music. If you want to come hopping, doing the Watutsi, amen, whatever you want to do, amen. If you want to just come walking, but come celebrating that we're able to serve a generous God. Amen. Everybody participate today. Give me a good amen.
So we don't have a drummer right now, but you got some hands, so I'm just going to ask you to clap like this. All right, you ready?
I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart.
I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where?
Down in my heart today.
The joy, 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 joy down in my heart.
Down in my heart,
I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where?
Down in my heart today.
Oh, I'm so happy, so very happy. I got the love of Jesus in my heart. Oh, I'm so happy, so very happy. I got the love of Jesus in my heart.
One quick announcement. Everybody who's planning on going to the Dallas Cowboy game this Thursday, we are going to have a very short meeting right after church right here at this end of the altar. So if you already got your tickets and everything, or somebody got your tickets, make sure you meet with us over here because we have to take care of all the logistics. Amen? Sorry, women. So it's men only.
Amen. You can give at this time right now.
Here I am before you, falling in love, seeking your truth, knowing that your perfect grace has brought me to this place. Because of you, I freely live my life to you. Oh God, I care, so I stand before you, God. I lift my voice, could you set me free? So I shout out your name from the rooftops. I proclaim that I am yours, and I am yours. All that I am, I placed it to your loving hands, and I am yours. your name. From the rooftops I proclaim that I am yours, and I am yours, and all that I am, I place it to your loving hands, and I am yours, and I am yours.
Amen, amen. Go in the love of the Lord. We'll see you guys next week. God bless you.